is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Third and final hour on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. I don't think this is a must-win game for the Houston Texans, but I do think it is a must-win game for Houston Texans fans. Texans and Jaguars, Sunday, NRG Stadium with the Texans, per mybookie.ag, promo code PET975, 6-point favorites. I'm sorry, I get that the Jaguars are 0-3, but that line is too much. It's too much! The Texans don't cover, but okay, you don't want to hear a hammer and a hang tank. This team does not score points. This team is banged up on offense. They stall in the middle of the field often. They can't run the football. And while I like what they have shown at times defensively, maybe not on Sunday, but week one against the Colts for the most part, week two against the Bears for the most part, I don't buy the idea that the Texans are going to shut the Jaguars down offensively, even though Trevor Lawrence has been truly horrid his last 8 starts, in which the Jaguars are 0-8.
Yeah, we saw last week, they didn't get to the quarterback enough. I mean, you know, the one play that people were like really harsh on, Eric Murray.
Aaron Murray's the guy who played quarterback at Georgia.
That's right. The touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. Sam Darnold was, you know, they showed it during the game. He was back there for 6 seconds.
Yeah, Sam Darnold was scrambling around looking. I know this is going to shock some people, like Michael Vick. But he was, instead of, you know.
I didn't know you were allowed to do that.
Instead of being, you know, left-handed, he's right-handed.
You know one thing I'm excited for this weekend, though?
What?
I feel bad because I'm about to, you know, say I'm glad.
The snacks at the NRG Stadium press box?
They are usually pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Those pecan things are amazing.
Yeah. Not that I'm excited that, like, someone's hurt, but Jimmy Ward didn't practice today.
You're excited Jimmy Ward is hurt?
I'm not excited. I'm excited to see more Kalen Bolden.
We don't root for injuries.
I'm excited to see more Kalen Bolden.
But I don't think that necessarily means more Kalen Bullock. That said, I don't really know how the Texans stack their safeties because Bullock does strike me as somebody who is playing center field more often than not, especially in third and long situations.
Mm-hmm.
I would be curious to know who has gotten the snaps at safety on the year. Ward has struggled, though. There's one play a game where he's either a step too slow or he's out of position. So I understand that expediting the process of making Kalen Bullock an every down player defensively is probably in the Texans' best interests, maybe long term more than short term. But I've liked enough of what I've seen from Bullock to this point.
Yeah, and that's why I want to see more of it. Like, it's, you know, can he, if he does, you know, whatever the role is, like you said, with Ward, if he's out on Sunday, because we don't know for sure he's out, but if you're not practicing today, you're usually not playing. So Tank Dell, Damian Pierce, Jimmy Ward, that feels like those guys are not going to play on Sunday. So, like, what does Joe Mixon look like? Because that's also going to be a huge part of this, because they couldn't run the ball at all with Cam Akers last week. Not all his fault. Definitely some on the offensive line. But, like, can they have some success this weekend?
They've
struggled the last 2 games. I mean, week one, like, it was just such a high moment for, like, hey, they got a running game, and then the next 2 weeks was a disaster.
I wonder. I want to say that it's a problem as simple as having a guy who's talented at running back, but there's a very good chance that this system just does not know how to make it work on the ground. And that's something that was my biggest fear going into the year for the Texans offense. Had nothing to do with the passing game. I was curious if Stephon Diggs would stay patient all season long if he's not getting his touches. Heard Josh Allen talk about that this week. But that is the big question mark, and I think you're going to need to be balanced against the Jaguars. Last year, second half is where the balance for the Texans offense stopped. You had a couple of nice performances from Devin Singletary, but I mean, we all saw Devin Singletary last night for the Giants. He's not that good. And he can't make it work with an offensive line in front of him that was a game of musical chairs. But you haven't had musical chairs thus far. I mean, you've been as healthy as possible outside of Juice Scruggs missing, what, game two?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, this has been pretty damn good, and injuries happen on the offensive line.
Which is almost just more concerning that at this point, that like you've been healthy. And even saw Patterson, I think he got hurt in that game too and against the Bears. Like, he was pretty solid until Scruggs got on the field last year. So, like, if you can't run the ball, it's just going to make life so much harder. I mean, if they don't stay out of, like, the third and long stuff.
That's going to be tough, though.
And, like, they got to find some kind of answer on first and second down. You cannot keep being in third and seven and beyond. You can't have all these illegal formations and false starts. Like, they're just – D'Amico said it. We played it yesterday. The Texans got to stop beating the Texans. Like, it's just – they lost last week. It wasn't just because of themselves. It just didn't help. Like, if it was a close game last week, they would have lost because of themselves.
The last two games on third and seven and longer, the Texans are 4 for 18.
Not good.
They've been in that situation a lot. 11 times Sunday against the Vikings. Two conversions actually got called back by penalties. 3 for 18 is not bad on third and seven plus. Or 6 for 18. It's not 33%. That's not bad for third and seven plus. It's not great, but it's not bad. And you feel like you can convert a lot of these, but you're asking so much out of C.J. Stroud, so you're asking for perfection for an entire game. And while I like Stroud, and I still think Stroud's top five, you got to be realistic with what you're asking him to do every single week.
Yeah, and like he's been – I saw one stat, like he has the best, you know, completion percentage in the NFL beyond the sticks, which is like, that's great. But you're just asking so, so much. I mean, it's just at some point, like, he's gonna make mistakes. And he hasn't been great this year. I think really, like, go back to week one. I mean, there was the interception that wasn't because the Colts defender just got his foot out of bounds. He had another one in that game where there was a penalty. I'm not even sure he was aware there was a penalty, but he threw a pick, so he got saved on that one. He hasn't been great this year. So, like, what I want to see this weekend, what's most important, is the offense needs to score touchdowns. And they haven't scored. They scored 7 points or 10 points in the last six quarters. Even if they win a close football game and it's not pretty for the whole game, we need to see offensive success. A team that just gave up 41 points to the Buffalo Bills. If you struggle to score in this game, it's where even if you win, we won't be feeling good about the win on Monday.
And if you don't score points, that's where Lawrence is going to be able to settle in, theoretically get confident. But yeah, you're right. I mean, look, they got a great kicker in Fairbairn. But to what you were saying, the last six quarters, the first two quarters against the Bears, they were moving the ball. Then it would just stop. And now, I mean, you're just looking at a team that kept on shooting itself in the foot. And teams go through stretches like this. I'd rather go through it now. I've seen Patriots teams that won Super Bowls look like ass in September. But this is one of those things where you get just a little bit nervous because you thought that this was going to be a lot easier than it's been. And of course, maybe that was just unrealistic to begin with. But yeah, of late, the offense is not good enough to make me feel confident that they're going to be able to cover a 6-point spread, let alone win convincingly. Let alone win. I have a bad feeling about this one. I think that everyone's sort of looking at this as a get right kind of game, mm-hmm. and I just don't think it's that. It's a division game. They're the Jaguars. Sure, they're 0-3, and sure, they're coming off of a bad loss, but what, are you expecting them to be that bad a week after a bad loss? I'm not.
Yeah.
And I don't want, honestly, after the Texans loss like that, I don't want them looking at the Jaguars on Monday night and saying, these guys suck.
Yeah, because
that's how you lose.
I mean, because you're both coming off an awful loss. You lost 34-7. Like, however, the Texans should be feeling the same way that Jacksonville is. But like you said earlier this week, as well, like, you can't be looking ahead to Buffalo.
Right.
Like, you gotta get back on track. So I'm with you. I mean, the hope is that the last 2 weeks is that in the long term they'll be able to figure it out. But you face two defensive coordinators who are just straight up better than Bobby Slowick on those games, that Matt Eberflus and Brian Flores, that they worked this offense, and that Bobby will have more of the season to figure out what went wrong, and so will CJ, and they will, when they play the next great defensive coordinator. And what we'll see this weekend is what we saw in the first game and the first half against the Bears, which is an offense that, even without Tank Dell, can easily move the ball down the field. Like that's the biggest thing. Like that's the number one thing I'm looking for is they need to have multiple possessions in which they can move the ball easily down the field.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to always result in a touchdown.
I would like that, but yes.
But it needs to not end in a 50-yard field goal.
Three touchdowns minimum.
With that, I'm in.
Get three.
Give me a Mixon, a Diggs,
and Andy effing Dalton can put together a 300-yard, three-touchdown performance, is that asking for too much? Okay, a 47-10 skull bleeping. That might be a little bit too much, you know? But three touchdowns?
I know offense is down, but it's not asking for a lot.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I mean, they still have a lot of talent on offense. It's why Bobby Slowick, we're looking at him a little bit closer. 2:30, we'll play some of what Bobby Slowick had to say at his press conference yesterday. But up next, our pick six. I don't even want to know my record on this. I'm sure it's suboptimal. But hey, we pick the six best games of the weekend in football, and then we pick them against the spread. It's Galan and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Fourth year in a row, and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions.
Your Houston Astros are back in the playoffs.
Edward drives one high and deep to right field. It's gone!
And you can hear every playoff game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are tougher than anything, and you know what? Here we come. Let's go! Yeah!
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable!
He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Paul Gallant and Joe George are going to pick six games.
There's six!
Pick six!
Well, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
We pick the six best games of the weekend, and then we pick them against the spread. We're going to pick between these two games. Which game is more interesting? You've got number 15 Louisville on the road at number 16 Notre Dame, the real ACC versus the fake ACC. And you've also got a team that Joe George could root for, number 19 Illinois, undefeated, at number 9 Penn State. Which game is more intriguing?
I think the Penn State game?
I vote Louisville, Notre Dame, because yeah. I think it would be funny to see Notre Dame lose again.
I think Louisville, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I just tried to. Also, shout out to Mapes.
Big Ten football's rough.
6-0 last week with Sean Mapes.
Sean, good job.
Wow.
What was
I knew I did well in college. I guess I just forgot.
Yeah.
What was I?
2-4.
Oh, jeez.
I was 3-3.
Notre Dame, 6.5-point favorites against Louisville.
Oh. Can I go last?
Sure.
No, you got to go first. You're the one who knows the game better.
Louisville.
Wow.
Ronnie Leonard can't throw.
He was having me look up Marcus Freeman's buyout in a commercial.
I'm taking Louisville.
I'm also taking Louisville. I cannot trust this Notre Dame team.
What's the number?
The number?
6.5.
Six and a half. Okay, yeah. I honestly didn't even hear him say it. Louisville.
Wow. Look, guys.
Someone's got to stand up for the Catholics.
That's true. I still am. Technically. Cheer for old Notre Dame.
You're going to regret this.
Wake up the echoes cheering her name. Send a volley cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. What through the odds, be great or small, old Notre Dame will win over all. While her loyal sons and daughters march on to victory. I care more and know two fight songs that Joe doesn't know.
You sure you want to do this?
Screw it. I'm terrible this year. I'm eating a funnel cake fry while I do this. Just to make it a little bit more stomachable.
How many day old funnel cake fry?
Four, three.
Was it Tuesday they came?
Tuesday, right?
No, it was Wednesday they came.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday, because you were here.
So
yeah.
Still good, just a little chewy.
Only 2 day old.
I mean, it's funnel cake.
See, and then the bees complain I don't leave them food. We left them funnel cake for us.
2 days, they let it sit.
Yeah, it's not here for them.
Number two, Georgia. At number two, Alabama. Keith Jackson here. I'm looking at this game, and I mean, I don't want to be crass here and say that I just don't respect Alabama with Kalen DeBoer, but I don't. Okay. Georgia's a one-point favorite against Alabama. I am curious about this. I am curious, given that apparently large portions of Georgia are without electricity. I am curious how that is affecting Georgia players today, yesterday as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely potential for distraction here. And since it's not a this ends your season if you lose it kind of game anymore, with the playoffs expanding the way that they have, this is not going to hurt either of these teams the way that, honestly, it should. I don't. This is why I don't like the expanded college football playoff as much. Georgia's just a one-point favorite. I think Georgia wins. I it's really about Nick Saban not being there.
Well, he will be there. He just won't be coaching.
Right, exactly.
And his wife, Miss Terry, is the college game day picker this week. So, I'm not going to go against Miss Terry. Roll Tide!
Okay.
This is a really hard game. I'm honestly, I'm only picking Alabama because it's in Alabama.
Right. I mean, Georgia hasn't been that impressive.
Yeah.
That win against Kentucky, what was that?
So this is such a coin flip to me. Like, I can talk myself in circles about this game. I ultimately, because that game against Kentucky, I'm going to go with Georgia. Because if there's one thing I'm sure of, it's that Kirby Smart has been ripping them a new one since that. So they had that game against Kentucky, a bye week before this week, an extra week to scream at his players about how terrible they are against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Give me Kirby Smart. Give me Georgia. Mm.
Okay. We're going to move to Sunday now, and I am giving us, again, options to pick. First, you got the Vikings at the Packers, or you got the Chiefs at the Chargers. Which of those games floats your boat more?
Sean, what do you think? I kind of like Vikings and Packers.
Yeah. Jordan Love is probably playing in this one, right?
It's up in the air.
That's important.
It does feel like it is trending that way, but I have not seen anything concrete. Packers are 2.5-point favorites in that game. Chiefs at Chargers, I think you asked the same question about Justin Herbert, and assuming that the Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites,
I'm assuming
that Herbert is out in that game.
Even if he plays last week, he got hit once, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. He came out for Heineke, I think it was.
Chiefs defense is very good. Yeah, so Vikings-Packers is the more interesting matchup. Let's pick that game. Once again, the Minnesota Vikings. Skull! Fresh off of a 3-point victory. Not a 3-point victory. Fresh off of a several points victory over the Houston Texans. Thank you. I couldn't do math off the top of my head. Sorry, I had the line in front of me and it moved. The Packers are 2.5-point favorites against the Vikings. And I'm assuming that's because they think Jordan Love is going to play.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going to ride with Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm going to ride with Kevin O'Connell and company.
I picked against Notre Dame, so I might as well just pick the Packers. Let's make this an all-time sad joke. Slate of games.
I'm taking the best coach in the NFL,
Matt LaFleur. Taking him.
Wow, that's a statement.
Look what he's doing, Malik Willis. Like, Jordan Love's out there. I'm going to assume Jordan Love's playing, so I'm taking the Packers -2.5.
Best coach in the NFL.
I think I'm there.
Win something. That's what I say.
Yeah.
This is maybe a little bit of overrating because the last time I saw them play, they beat a team I thought was good, 34-7. But I'm gonna go with the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're a really good team. Even if Jordan Love does play, we don't know how he's gonna look on that leg.
He didn't look great on that Brazil game.
I was gonna say he didn't look great in the full game that we got to see him play. And have we talked all year about how sloppy these offenses are? Well, these offenses, well, A, Minnesota looks like a super sharp offense. Mm-hmm. Two, all the other teams are way sharper than a guy who played one game and has been out for 2 weeks. So give me the Vikings.
Okay. Another couple of options for you. Cliff Kingsbury revenge game. You've got Jaden Daniels and the Commanders plus Cliff Kingsbury heading back to Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. At the very least, this is a fun game.
Yeah.
The other option that you have to pick, Eagles at Bucks. They've played each other in the playoffs a couple of times the last few years. It's Baker Mayfield. Is he back? Jalen Hurts. Will he be back? Which of those games is more intriguing to you?
I think I lean Commanders-Cardinals.
I'd rather watch Commanders-Cardinals. I think Eagles-Bucks is more important. So I'm going to take Eagles-Bucks. Sean, you are the deciding vote here.
I'll do Eagles-Bucks.
Okay.
Rematch
okay.
from last year's playoffs.
Eagles are 1.5-point favorites on the road. I'm very curious, and I don't know the latest, but I am curious about how this also, the storm, Hurricane Helene, affects this game, seeing as it's in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
That might be affecting the line. Might be why it's the Bucks are 1.5-point home dogs.
Mm-hmm. I did see a bunch of Eagles fans like getting all angry last night because they want to cancel their flights because they want to get their money for the game back because all the flights are canceled. So at least like people from Philly are having a hard time getting there.
So Philly won't travel well for this game.
Yeah.
That actually is a factor because Philly has traveled very well to games that are at Raymond James Stadium.
But there's probably a lot of local Eagles fans.
True, there are.
People,
Clearwater,
the retirees.
Clearwater even has like a minor league stadium, and it's basically a little middle of mini Philadelphia. It's the Clearwater Threshers.
So Devontae Smith is out. Or didn't practice it. He's out. I mean, he looked like he got killed on the field last week. AJ Brown did practice today. I don't think he's going to play.
Oh.
He's questionable.
Up in the air. Yeah. Wasn't Lane Johnson also sick? Or no, he got a concussion too, right?
Yeah. I think I'm going to probably put on the backpack.
Bucks.
Ooh.
I'm wearing a shirt that says Bucks, Bolts, Rays. Shout out to Tampa Bay.
I'm going to go Eagles.
Okay. I'm picking with my heart.
Yeah. Tampa strong. I'm also going.
It's Tampa Bay strong.
Tampa Bay strong.
Don't forget about St. Pete.
I will never forget about St. Pete.
Thank you. It's not looking so great.
Yeah. Let me get the Bucks on this one.
Okay. Sunday Night Football. This is a good one. Bills at Ravens.
That's really good.
What's the number?
The line for... Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Certain websites, let's just say, need to work on their layout. Are 2.5-point dogs on the road against Baltimore after a 47-10 win over the Jaguars. I might be a sucker. That seems crazy. I'm taking the Bills. 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5-point underdogs.
Yep, Bills.
Bills, Bills, Bills.
Don't waver.
This one, because it's so suspicious, give me the Ravens. It's so suspicious. Like, what? I can't wrap my head around this.
So currently right now, Sean and I both are 10-8 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Right now, the only thing that we agree on is Louisville.
Oh, so this is the chance to be a real.
But then the only thing I agree on with you, Paul, is the Bills game. We are all like,
all over the place.
I'm very opposite.
I did notice that we had a lot of 2-on-1s. Like, we haven't had a clean sweep yet.
Yeah. And that's going to continue, I think, in this next one.
Jaguars at Texans to wrap up our pick six. The Texans are 6-point favorites.
I already know what you guys are doing, so.
Jaguars are covering. I think the Texans win, Jaguars cover, and we remain unsatisfied.
We said last week that Paul and I... We're in agreement that we will not pick the Texans to cover until they actually cover.
And it worked last week.
Nothing I saw last week makes me waver off that. Give me the Jets.
0-3 this year picking the Texans against the spread because I picked the Texans to cover every single time. I'm going to go the opposite of you guys, okay? I'm going to pick the Texans to cover.
Wow.
I'm going to pick the Texans to cover until they actually do. I might go 0-17 this year.
The logic behind all of our picks, especially mine, but Joe's there too, staggering. Don't pick with your logic.
Yeah.
Pick with your heart.
I'm going to bet on the Texans to cover. Until they actually do it, and then I might flip.
When the Texans cover, you'll be the first one on the show to be right.
Yes, I'm not going to back down. Okay, if you're not first, you're last.
Over under, I guess, yes or no? Is that how it works? Chances Laremy Tunsil gets booed at introductions. I forgot they introduced players individually.
This will be defense, though.
It's a defense week?
I assume so, because they did the offense.
They did offense last week.
Since it was, yeah, so I think they'll be the defense. So he might escape.
He escaped, just like the Astros after 2017.
Total penalties. I know we said over 1.5 false starts, including illegal formation. Let's move the line to 3.5 for Larry McKenzie.
2.5, I think.
For false starts.
That might be just that ref crew. I don't know.
Yeah, so 2.5.
Yeah, I think there's a chance he doesn't get called for a illegal formation. Although, there is the chance that he gets called for 3 false starts.
Especially with Al Michaels complaining about the referees as much as they do, I wonder if there's a memo sent to referees. Hey, let's chill just a little bit.
Well, like the illegal formation thing, as much like as the Texans want to complain and say it's us versus them, they do have to figure it out.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't know how to call it.
They have been inconsistent with it, but also the Texans were definitely cheating. I get it. Minnesota's got a really loud stadium, but they were cheating. And I think offensive players should be punished when they cheat. Mm. They cheat a lot. 5-yard contact is a rule. It's ridiculous. Anyway, he is Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. That is our pick 6. We pick the 6 best football games of the weekend, and then we pick them against the spread. Coming up next, are you feeling any better about Bobby Slowik after what he said at his press conference yesterday? You'll hear from the Texans offensive coordinator in the midst of quite the struggles on offense. Next, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Tomorrow, your University of Houston Cougars look to hold the line against ranked Iowa State. It's going down tomorrow night, TDECU Stadium. It's family weekend. It's our Hispanic Heritage game. It'll be a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. Plus, you got the family night special there. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 drinks, just $80. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS now to get yours. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Rawr! And also, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to go see your Cougs in action against the Iowa State Cyclones. Not a fan of that name. Not a fan of any team that's nicknamed after storms right now.
Should change it.
Even though I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Bucks Bolts. Lightning Bolts.
Yeah.
Thunderstorms.
I think that's a little different, though.
Rays. Yeah, it's a little different.
I mean, Rays might be more offensive to some people than Bolts.
Oh, Australians for sure. They killed Steve Irwin.
They did.
Of all the things to get killed by.
I know, of all the things, like, he was around.
It's a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
I'd want it. I mean,
I'm sure if he was alive, he'd say, want that one back.
If you're the crocodile hunter, you don't want to get killed by a crocodile, for sure.
You do not.
But, yeah.
It's a crocodile.
Yeah. If I go out, I don't want it to be a stingray. Right.
How do you want to come out?
It's a good question.
On the flag football field?
Yeah. Bury me at midfield. Bury me at midfield. I want a funeral pyre.
At the media game?
I mean, it would be really funny now if it happens. I hope everyone...
Do we get permission to play this back if that...
Yes. Yeah, okay. No, I say this all the time. I don't want anyone to be sad when I'm dead.
My dad says the same. He's like, one day when I pass, he's like, I want it to be like a celebration.
Get drunk and try not to forget about me too quickly.
Yeah.
Because you will, but don't... Just wait a little bit, okay? God, that was a little dark, a little morbid. I'm in a dark, morbid kind of mood today. Hey, sports. They're a thing.
Sports.
One of those sports, football. Texans. Swarming. Jaguars Sunday. Well, we're hoping they're going to swarm, but I haven't even said Texans swarm once this week, Joe.
Yeah, they didn't deserve it.
No, Texans swarm is in timeout.
Texans soft. Mm. We need like a reverse.
The opposite of swarm?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say swarm backwards. Want to try it?
It doesn't work.
Try it.
No.
Probably like, sounds like that.
I feel like my brain is just operating so slow right there.
Yeah, it's hard. Shout out to the dyslexic people out there. They might have been able to make that happen little bit quicker.
You know what's so stupid? Like, there's this song that like it like tries to encourage Joseph to learn the
Joe Jr.
JJ to learn the alphabet backwards. And I'm like, what a waste of time. Like, why would you ever need to know
that? I don't know. Some of the ways that kids are getting taught. Have you seen some of the really complicated methods of teaching math?
Yeah, I think I talked about it with some of the guys on Twitch like last week.
I saw a video and I was like, I'm so lost. I don't know how this works at all.
Yeah, like just do math normal. Like they're using like dots.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was so much work. Now I suppose if you get enough practice, you'd be good at it for like anything, but. I don't know how you get there. The kid trying to explain it, he's a 5-year old. It's not.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. It's like it looks like 5-year old math is hard.
Oh, do you think they're learning harder math now?
No, I just think they're teaching it in a way that makes no logical sense.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what?
See, like, and they're like training him to pass the sobriety test. Do they actually do that? Do cops actually try to get you to say the alphabet backwards? If that happens,
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either.
Yeah, I also would not.
But like, also, like, you could pull me over. Like, so that means if they pulled me over today, right after the show, and said, "Hey, say it backwards," I would just so.
How erratic of a driver are you?
Take me to jail.
Yeah, I also think.
No, I'm just saying.
If you,
it's for you.
Hey, I get hit by other cars. They don't. I don't hit them.
That's true.
I think if you get through like the first 10 backwards. They'll just give it to you.
Dude, I'll be honest. I don't think I could do it.
ZYXW.
The real curveball would be like, hey, read the... I want to hear the 12th letter through the 18th letter.
Yeah, can I just walk in a straight line?
You can't sound it out.
can I just... That's what you say. Can I just walk in a straight line?
Like, can I do anything else besides
well, then the test? They're probably going to give you one if you do that. Speaking of... driving under the influence, you could say that the Texans' offense has resembled that.
Ooh.
The last 6 quarters.
Got them.
Because they've been under the influence of Bobby Slowick, who might be mid as an offensive coordinator. People are starting to circle around old Bobby. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the coordinator's press conference day for the Houston Texans. And Bobby Slowick weighed in on a lot of different things. Specifically here... he talks about the lack of execution by the Texans offense.
I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The number one reason would be the same thing. I mean, we could probably count on one hand the amount of times we're doing what we're supposed to do. And in the run game, that's a problem. I mean, we had unblocked players tackling us for 4-yard losses. That's not how you draw it up. You know what I mean? So we got to go execute.
Are you confident that they can execute?
I'd say last week we ran the ball 9 times. So I don't even know if there's enough evidence there to go off of. If I mean, we had like 2.7 to carry, so we didn't do it well. But also, you need to run it more than 9 times to really see how you're running the ball. The Chicago in particular was something that we know we could have executed better. We were closer to than what we were last week. But, you know, just fundamentally really against Chicago, we were a little loose. And then last week was really execution. But when it's things that are not physical, when it's things that, you know, are things we can correct, that doesn't make it any easier. You need to correct it, but it is fully, we're fully capable of correcting that.
So it's not Bobby's fault.
That's the vibe you got from that answer?
Oh, he said, you know, we can correct it.
It's execution.
Guys being tackled 4 yards in the backfield, not getting blocked. It's not Bobby's fault, according to Bobby.
I'm with you. That's what I hear too. And he constantly talks about execution. Okay, well, what if what you're asking is not executable by your personnel?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's the question. It's like, is what he's trying to accomplish, like, is he stubborn? Because I think he is. I do think like that's one thing with Bobby Slowick that we've seen through year one and so far into year two.
The running early downs thing specifically, which some people take a huge issue with, and I don't take as much of a big issue with it, but when it's not working, move on. And you even heard it along the way in that answer. Like, well, you know, you got to run it a little bit more.
Well, like it failed with Pierce, failed with Akers, it failed with Singletary, it failed with Agumbawale. Like any time they've tried to run the ball in the last year, besides like game one, it's been pretty much a failure. You've had a couple games where Singletary's popped off, but for the most part, it wasn't good. Like, so either your offensive line, whether it's last year or this year, is not set up for success because of their talent, or their coaching's poor from the offensive line coach to the coordinator, or your running backs just aren't good. So, like, I know he wants to run the ball, but and you can't throw it 100 times a game, but you have to, like, at some point, like, it's just not working. And like, and that's just kind of where it's like, I don't know if it's execution. Like, he can say that, but I don't believe him.
There is more than just a three-game sample size for his offense and his struggle to run for the majority of it. So, To me, I look at what he's saying. He's not entirely wrong. I mean, they do have to do what he's asking them to do better, and they have to not shoot themselves in the foot as well. That is a different kind of execution. You're executing your chances. You know, you're just capping it right in the face. Mm-hmm. So that's something that needs to clearly stop. I hope it's going to be better on Sunday. I just feel everything is adding up to the Texans not living up to the expectations that we have for Sunday. And maybe not everybody has them, but Jacksonville got smoked. The offense has been slow for a while. And I think everyone's thinking it's just going to get unlocked on Sunday. And, okay, maybe Joe Mixon's back. And maybe Nico Collins is not affected by the hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. And maybe even Tank Dell's out there.
Yeah.
But they had all of those guys for the Bears game in the second half. I mean, Mixon was there for, Mixon got hurt. They weren't really running the football in that game. Week one, he was there.
Yeah.
They were all there week one. There were moments where they just sputtered. So I'm curious about all of these things, and it's one thing to say, hey, we got to execute better, but, I mean, you actually have to do it.
Well, and it's not like we're – and, like, this isn't Indianapolis that, you know, in week one and week two gave up over 470 rushing yards. You know, Jacksonville, in terms of, like, what they've given up, you know, they only gave up 81 rushing yards in week one against a good rushing attack, we thought, in Miami. They only gave up 125 rushing yards in week two. Jerome Ford, like, he averaged 9 yards a carry, but he was not the primary back. Deontay Foreman was. And then last week, which is strange because of how much, you know, they scored early, they only gave up 122 rushing yards to Buffalo. So, like, yeah, like, two of the three opponents have rushed for over 100 yards, but they're not getting torched, right? You have to break that 100-yard threshold, I would say, at a minimum. So between Akers, Agumbawale, Mixon, CJ, and, I mean, I guess we won't see the Tank Dell reverse this week, so maybe we'll see Diggs get the ball. you need to move the ball, at least get 100 yards rushing, so that way you can be effective. Average 4 yards a carry. Like, you just gotta have some success to make life easier for CJ.
We gotta do something. We gotta do something. Mm. We gotta do something.
Gotta do something fast.
It's from Infant Sorrow in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Also another movie that they made a sequel to, Get Him to the Greek, which featured P. Diddy in a prominent role.
Yikes.
Can't watch that movie again, I guess.
I mean, you can.
Speaking of Diddy in Garbage Time.
Transition.
All-time Diddy stories. No, not too graphic. Just some of the defenses that have been coming out for Diddy have been something else. We wrap things up. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. I don't know if you're going to be able to gamble on P. Diddy's prison sentence or things that might happen to him in jail, but at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, you can bet on so many things. You can bet on the National Football League. You can bet on Major League Baseball. Astros have the fourth best odds to win the World Series at, I believe, +908 per mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. They're going to double your initial deposit, and you get to play with it right away. Play blackjack with live dealers, poker with live dealers, bet on the ponies. You can do anything at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Even bet on the election. You could go crazy and say Oprah's going to be president. Truly, that's an option. The odds are probably not in your favor, but you could do it. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. We're going to expand on that?
No. But Sean did just tell us that before, as we were making our Louisville Notre Dame pick.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Fine. No, I'm not bringing it up. Go ahead.
This is one of those where, as middle manager Joe, we have to leave that one off the air.
Okay.
Apparently, Louisville is having a bust in Notre Dame because of the weather. It's only 4.5 hours.
4.5 hour bus ride starting right now. Wait, for the Louisville Cardinals.
The hurricane's in Illinois now?
Well, it's probably in Louisville.
Yeah. Also, Notre Dame's in Indiana. No, but it is. No, it's good, like the
same state.
The wind, tornadoes, all that stuff is going to hit like southern Illinois, Indiana, Louisville area.
Wait, so those are two different states?
I mean, they're basically one. Everything that's wrong with Illinois is Indiana's fault for the most part.
I thought Illinois was basically Indiana, Iowa, the other states, Ohio.
I mean, pretty much.
Michigan. I thought they were all one.
Pretty similar.
They're all literally on top of each other.
It is all the same, except one of them has Chicago.
Yeah. Like, it really is.
There's Chicago and Illinois.
And then the Midwest.
Yeah, because like, then there's like Indianapolis, which is just like a mini Chicago.
Oh.
That people just don't like going to as much. Which I kind of like Indy. I won't lie. I didn't hate Indy.
Blocked. I've never been there, but I like hating it for no reason.
We went there a lot in college.
My dad complained about it once after coming back from a business trip, and because I hated the Colts growing up, I just hate Indianapolis with no logical reason for it.
Yeah, our fraternity headquarters were there, so like whenever we have like retreats, they would make us go there.
Hell yeah!
I just didn't hate it that much. Like, I was like, it's fine.
Okay, it's easy to walk around. So we're hoping the Texans do well on Sunday.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see what happens. Time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So look, guys. There's a lot of stuff going on. With P. Diddy getting arrested, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's pretty funny, this story about how there were 1,000 bottles of lube and baby oil found in his house that got raided.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 bottles of lube. Said his lawyer about this.
Baby oil.
Baby oil. My bad.
What he used it for is his own business.
Yeah.
My dad, I'm making assumptions. Quote, I don't think it was 1,000. I think it was a lot. I mean, there is a Costco right down the street. I think Americans buy in bulk, as we know. That's Diddy's lawyer. Yeah. I gotta say, that's an all-time defense.
I mean, hey, you know what? He's gotta have a good one.
I was gonna say.
Because we know who the other one is.
But
it's Tony.
Who's Tony?
Tony Busby.
Oh, Busby's going to be in there?
He's in on this. Shocker.
He is? Wait.
He's representing 55 people in a lawsuit, at least 55 people, against P. Diddy.
I wonder how Rusty Harden feels about
that. Tony Busby, he's on the Travis Scott. He's on Deshaun Watson. He's on every major NFL case now. Like, that guy is a busy person.
He had a Sherman tank just parallel parked in front of his house.
He's got the
art
Titanic
that got
people.
Stolen.
The Titanic or the submarine. People.
What? The people that went to go look at
the dead people?
Their families.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like, wow, they're suing from beyond the grave.
Like, Deshaun Watson, like, just, like, skyrocketed Tony Busby's career. And he was on the opposite side. And it was already a good career.
Here's the problem with Diddy's lawyer's defense. I mean, there is a Costco right down the street. Costco told TMZ they don't even sell baby oil. None of the company's U.S. locations carry baby oil.
I've never been inside of Costco.
That's tough.
But that surprises me. All I know about Costco is...
Costco's great.
This weird family on TikTok.
Oh!
Boom or Doom?
Boom! They're so weird.
Chocolate mocha cookie! We bring the boom! It's what we do! We bring the boom!
Do you think they had to release a statement on Diddy?
No.
Okay.
No, those cloud chasers would probably, like, say that, yeah, Diddy went after us, too. He brought us for a meeting. It got uncomfortable. Boom!
What's the verdict on the Diddy case?
Boom!
Doom!
Of all the social media things, that's the Costco guys is the one thing I don't get.
I do, because it's so stupid, it's amazing.
We're Costco guys. Of course we go to Diddy parties.
Double choke chocolate cookie.
What does the kid eat? Big Justice.
The kid's called the Rizzler.
No. That's a different kid.
Oh, I thought they were in the same group.
Big Justice.
Big Justice.
What is the chicken bake?
Chicken bake. It does look okay.
Boom! Chicken bake.
Oh, can we get like the Big Justice and Costco guy?
Oh, I would love treatment. To have him on. Those cloud chasers again. They'd come on. They'd pay us to be on.
Like, I wanna.
They've been trying to go viral for like 20 years.
Yeah, some of those finally videos made are it. Really weird. Like the older ones. Like the current ones are weird. The older ones that people have surfaced are even weirder.
They've had six podcasts. Like, yeah, we eat beer. We drink alcohol. We're a masculine podcast. We even talk NFL. Damn, still in our corners.
Whew. What a day. What a way to almost end the show. I don't know if you're done yet.
Freak off? Boom!
I think the answer to that was do.
And on that note, it's been real, guys. If we don't come back, it was Diddy's fault. Okay? Okay.
Texans Jags? Boom!
I thought you were about to say swarm.
Yeah.
For our Texters, our Twitchers, YouTubers, Tweeters, and everybody else, for Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend, everybody. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.